Before we move on to the next oral historian, I want to share a bit more tape from my conversation with Tamara. I didn't play this part for Sheila before we talked, and yet I hear resonances between what I talked about with Tamara and what Sheila had to say about respecting the ephemeral nature of some research creations. Here's that bit of my conversation with Tamara, in which we talk about the parts of oral history interviews that inevitably don't fit into a research agenda, whether everything from a recording needs to be archived or quote-unquote used, and how we would both rather go on tangents than stick to a strict research question. I hope you enjoy this exchange as much as I do.
Yeah, I was actually talking with somebody yesterday who is an artist who works quite a lot around, like, you know, carceral systems and surveillance and Blackness. And I was saying that something that I really value about oral history is that I'm trying to encourage people to do more with specific prompts in an interview, is that oftentimes people show up in their storytelling who serve a really sort of like past referential role in their life. And the way that they talk about them is almost kind of speaking that person into documentation. And it doesn't always have to do with the crux of the story or like sort of the thrust of their life history. But I've heard people bring it up often in the way of, like, oh, this person served a really formative purpose in my life at this time, and I don't know where they are today. I've lost track of them. We're no longer in touch, and I often wonder where they are. Or this person mm-hmm. passed away, and I think of them, and I hold on to this memory. And there's something so special to me about oral history providing a space to memorialize that or to document that where it might otherwise be lost, and where the storyteller or the narrator might not actually have a lot to offer towards documenting it. And I think that happens a lot with, like, you know, in queer lives, and also in lives that are touched by incarceration, where sometimes you do only know somebody through, like, an alias, or sometimes you did only know somebody when you were, like, in a cell with them, and then you both got transferred to a different unit, or you know, maybe you were, like, in juvie with this person when you were both 16, and you never saw one another again. But yeah, I think oral history provides a really special occasion to hold on to that and to tell someone else about it in a way that's on the record. It seems to really encourage it naturally. Like, I've just noticed it coming up a lot in ways that I didn't prompt, but I'm trying to consciously prompt more.
I'm trying to, I have a question, and I'm trying to formulate it in a way that isn't like glib. I'll just ask it. What's the research value of that, of, like, capturing that? And I guess go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Like, I'm using research as a shorthand. What is the knowledge value of that?
Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't know that there has to be a research value. The knowledge value. I mean, I think it's a connection value. I think it's a therapeutic value. I think it would mean something to that person to speak that into the record, whether or not it was ever heard by another person beyond that. And it's something that, when I think about knowledge production, you know, Not that I ever want to, like, parcel out a history, but, you know, when you're trying to edit something or produce something around a particular subject or theme, there are these things that don't quite fit into any of your purposes. And those things really take up a lot of space in my mind, because I wonder where they can go or if they should go anywhere. And maybe end up asking myself the same question that you just asked, because yeah, there are moments in the story that I'm like, that actually really didn't have anything to do with this interview or the question that I asked or where this might be going or the purpose that we set out to achieve together, but it's so important. It feels so important. And I'm so grateful to have received it. Does it need to go somewhere else? What does it mean for it to live on my laptop or to hover in the space of the time that we talked to one another and maybe not go any further? Those are questions I find myself asking a lot in oral history work.
Yeah, it strikes me as very different from how I often teach, you know, research and searching, which is to stay focused. In order to save yourself time. And the way I usually present this information is to say, listen, I'm really bad at this. I love to go on a tangent. And it means I never finish my projects. So, you know, you students should stay focused and focus on your research question. But I don't actually like to do that.
No, I don't like to do that either. Yeah, my my ex-partner used to call it being brain hype. When they would come over and I would just have like 12 books out, because like one book had reminded me of another book and like one book was bookmarking the other book, and then I had to like pull up a Google search because it reminded me of something else. And I find that process so fun. It's I don't know that it produces anything, but I've been asking myself a lot. I mean, I think as a lot of like interdisciplinary cultural workers do, like, what is my purpose? If I had to synthesize what my work is or what my approach is or what my perspective is. And I tend to just come back to again and again that it's to be able to draw these sometimes like disparate seeming connections between things. And to point to the ways that like culture is interconnected in ways that we might not recognize. And so it feels valuable and generative in that way, even if I'm not just focused on a central research question. But sometimes it comes back around to a central point. Whether it's a point about like, I don't know, about wielding power in workplaces, or a point about interpersonal like conflict resolution or something, and you had to like consume 5 different types of media to come around to that point eventually. I think it's something I find myself doing more often than not, and I don't know that there's a linear way for me to arrive.
Yeah.